you in the 06010.
Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Focus.
You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And if you're listening to today's audio feed,
today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. Happy September. Field Yates, Matthew Barry, Stefania Bell, Daniel Dopp, all here today. A full house for today's podcast. We have
Ross Poker reference.
Is that a poker reference? I don't know.
Full House.
Dave Coulier reference. You know who he is?
I do know who he is.
Yeah, one of my favorite all-time actors.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you like about Dave Coulier?
He's funny, and the show was iconic. He was great.
You know, the
never took himself too seriously.
All fair. The show is iconic.
Full House.
He is supposedly, the rumor is that, you know, he's the inspiration behind some of Alanis Morissette songs on Jagged Little Pill.
That's correct. Yes, I actually knew that rumor.
Yeah.
Are they both from Canada?
And I believe they had a relationship at one point. But
Confirmed.
Anyway, so there you go. Confirmed, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Fascinating, right?
Yeah, as everybody was hoping for us to break down at the beginning of the podcast.
I was pretty sure I wasn't talking about Dave Coulier today, but it just goes to show you, you never know. I was always an Uncle Jesse guy.
Uncle Jesse? Well, he's so handsome.
Sure.
Did you know? Hold on, really quickly. Do you know what Uncle Jesse's doing these days?
Is he touring with the Beach Boys?
Yeah, he's playing drums. My dad went to the concert. I gave him as a retirement gift tickets to the concert a couple nights ago. And you know who else was there?
Who else?
He was the youngest person by about 40 years. Jackson Ajello.
No way.
One of the producers of our podcast was there.
Yeah, we love Jackson. He does a lot of social stuff for us as well.
Yeah, he does a great job. He's such a bright star here at the company. And he showed up at the Beach Boys concert on Sunday night.
Freaking loved
it. Was he taking like his grandfather or
something? No, he went with a bunch of his buddies.
Yeah, like
that were also a bunch of kids.
They were closer in age to their birth date than they were to like the average age of every other patron at the event that night. And Mike Love, 80 years old, still bringing the house down.
Right. Well, it's interesting. I wonder if it's some. I went to a Jimmy Buffett concert this summer. You know, I'm a huge Buffett guy, and usually it's an older audience.
Yeah.
But we were walking the parking lot and it was tons of kids, I can't tell you how many pictures I took or how many shots I did or, you know.
When you say shots, what do you mean by that?
Tomorrow, Matthew Moniker. Alcoholic shots. Because, you know, you come and then you're doing that. Well, if you're going to tailgate for a Buffett show, you do it right.
Right.
And
right,
so,
right.
Whatever, playing beer pong or cornhole or whatever it is, people got going on. But it was like, I was just amazed at how many young people, kids, kids that are the same age as my oldest son, who's 23, you know, kids like that age were out. So it was, I don't know, maybe there's a whole nostalgia thing.
I think people
thing.
Just want to go to a concert.
Is that what it
right?
is?
At the very
somebody's
least.
Playing. Yeah, I don't care who it is.
So anyways, I always say that we're trying to get to the football faster on the show because we know that you guys want to hear about football.
Sure.
And I delayed us by 3 minutes. Let's get to the football news. And Matthew, we talked about this yesterday morning, but with you being back today on the show, wanted to dive in on Cam Newton being released, Mac Jones taking over as the starter, and the various impacts that could have on the Patriots offense.
Ultimately, I think this is a good move for the Patriots. I think it's good news for Mac Jones from a dynasty perspective as well. He suddenly gets to start from game one, right? He's going to learn quicker. And it's also the offense doesn't need to shift from a run-heavy, Cam-centric offense to Mac Jones, who's much more of a pure drop-back passer. He's not a guy that's going to run very much. I don't know that it does a lot for him season-long-wise, Mac Jones. Like, right. I think he's a low-end QB2. Because, again, he doesn't run that much, and I still expect the Patriots to be more run-heavy than pass-heavy. I don't expect them to get...
Maybe.
I mean, like... It'll be more balanced, I guess, is my point. It'll be more balanced than it was last year, but they're not all of a sudden going to turn into, like, the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's going to be a balanced attack, and they also have a very good defense, and they're not going to get into shootouts. Okay, so that's Mac Jones. Of the pass catchers, I think it obviously helps the pass catchers. I moved Jonnu Smith up to a top 12 fantasy tight end. I prefer
still about four slots too low, but that's not bad.
It's fair enough. As long as Hunter Henry is there, it's still that's my concern is not knowing when to start those guys. But you and I both agree, Jonnu Smith over Hunter Henry if picking a Patriots tight end. We're both on the same page there. I'm just concerned as long as Henry's out there, he's going to steal some red zone target share from Jonnu Smith. We shall see. If I have to pick a pass catcher, a wide receiver, give me Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers last year, in all the games in which he got, you know, like seven targets or more last year, I think he averaged over 17 fantasy points per game. He was really good last year. The problem is that over the second half of the year last year, Jacoby Myers had like a 30% target share. Mm-hmm. And does Mac Jones spread it around a little bit more? I think he does. I'm concerned that Jacoby Myers doesn't get as big a volume as he did last year. But to me, so that's Jacoby Myers. I ranked him inside my top 50, though, and I hadn't done that before. If I'm picking a Patriots wide receiver, it's Jacoby Myers. But to me, I think the big winner here, Field, is Damian Harris. Damian Harris becomes the number one running back on this team. Last year, the Patriots, second in the NFL in red zone rush percentage and first in rush percentage overall. Now, they had no one to throw to, and they had Cam Newton as a quarterback, which obviously skews everything. However, when they get in close, they like to run. Over the last 5 years, Bill Belichick and the Patriots are second overall in red zone rush percentage over the last 5 years. And if you go through and look at it each year, they were upper half of the league every single year. Top 15 in the league every single year. So they like to run when they get in close, and it's one of the best offensive lines in football. My expectation is when they get in close, they want to take some pressure off of Mac Jones. So I think they'll go more run heavy in the red zone than maybe they do in the offense in general. And then you look at what they did last year. Last year, they had 53 goal-to-go rushes. Yeah. 53. Of those 53, 28 went to Cam Newton, now a free agent. 8 of them went to Rex Burkhead, now in Houston. 4 of them went to Sony Michel, now a Ram. 9 of them went to Damian Harris. So the top four guys, like 48 of the... It's something like...
44.
40 of the 53... Well, 44 of the 53 because Damian Harris is still there. 44 of the 53, 41 because there was like whatever, like James White got like three. Gunnar, how do I?
Olszewski.
Olszewski, thank you. Gunnar Olszewski got one. Whatever. The point is here is that Damian Harris, of the top four guys that get those goal-to-goal carries, Damian Harris is the only guy left. Now, it's the Patriots. Suddenly, you know, Ramondre Stevenson or J.J. Taylor could get some work, but there's a chance that they use Damian Harris the way they used LeGarrette Blount a couple of years ago when he was fantasy royalty. He had 1 year where he had 18 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, no, I think he's the winner as well. I think he's the winner. I think I stopped short of big, and here's the reason why. So the good side of it is everything you illustrated. I thought the most notable stat was that last year Cam Newton had 7 rushing touchdowns from 1 or 2 yards out.
Yeah.
So, because sometimes when you look at goal to go opportunities, I'm not saying it's totally misleading, but a guy can have, let's say, 15 goal to go chances, and 6 of those might be 2 drives where they gave him the ball at the 5 and the 3 and the 1, and he scored on that 3rd carry. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So I do think that the 7 separate 1 or 2 yard touchdowns is significant, and I think that Damian Harris is in line to take over most of that work. The reason why I say it's not a big win, Matthew, is still because of what we talked about with Damian Harris before. Whether it's because of skill or usage, the passing game is volume is just not going to be. So I moved him up to running back 26 in my rankings.
I believe I have him at 25.
But I think there is, like, if he had passing game usage, like the skill set suggests, you could be a top 15 to 18 play. I just think between lack of passing game and the fact that it's the Patriots, so as you noted, like they could have 4 running backs to get carries every single week. That's why I offset the value a tiny bit.
Right, so that's the only concern is, does he get any passing game usage? They still have James White on the roster. And do the Patriots do the Patriot things where suddenly other guys are getting work?
Yep.
But so I am at 25, but there's a very good chance I am low on him. And that,
I think you're about right.
That he could, if he gets any passing game usage, because I think it's in his skill set. You know what I mean? And so if he gets any passing game usage or could easily get 15 rushing touchdowns this year, like that's within the range of outcomes for Damian Harris.
We'd be too low if that were the case.
Yes, then we would be. That's my point, is that, again, think about that. Like of the 53 goal-to-go carries, I mean, if he gets half of those, you're looking at that's Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry kind of usage.
Sure, no doubt about that. So I think we agree, and Cam Newton will be an interesting free agent whenever he signs. And I think Mac Jones, like we always talk about, there are not that many quarterbacks that are effective in fantasy that can run, but we'll see what kind of player he is. I think I agree with you. The fantasy impact for Mac could be much more what it means for the pass catchers. I hope we're not sleeping too much on Nelson Agholor. Let's move forward to another piece of news. And in some ways, yesterday, after the Cam Newton news came down, the biggest pieces of news are related to players that are on the PUP list. Stefania, That now includes, or I should say, that remains the case for Michael Thomas.
Yeah, just a reminder for what being on the PUP list at the start of the season means. It means that you cannot practice or play during the first 6 weeks of the season. So after you're brought off the PUP list at any time after those 6 weeks, you have basically a 5 week window to begin practicing with the team. Once you begin practicing, you have a 21 day window to be activated to the 53 man roster. So it doesn't automatically mean that a player comes off at 6 weeks and immediately plays the following week. However, in the case of Michael Thomas, I do believe that that is likely to happen. This is one of those situations where there was a lot of wins for putting Michael Thomas on the PUP list to start. Number one, it ensures that he has ample time to fully recover from that ankle surgery in June. I've heard that he's doing very, very well in his rehab, potentially could have played sooner, but now there's really no questions involved. Number two, it prevents Sean Payton from having to answer a question every single week about when will Michael Thomas play, because essentially the first few weeks are taken care of. And number three, remember, the Saints are displaced right now. They're in Texas. We don't know where their first game is going to be. So there are a lot of other things going on. And I think this just buys everyone time. I do expect Michael Thomas to return in week seven.
So Stefania said it. I just want to reiterate it because I got this question a lot yesterday. PUP is 6 weeks, not six games. Even though the Saints have a bye in week six of this season, some would say, well, isn't that a competitive advantage for them versus a team that has a week 12 bye? No, it's 6 weeks, not six games. So there's a chance, and we have no idea what that chance is, but there is a chance Michael Thomas can return as early as week seven, whereas you may have, which is only five games missed, whereas other players that are on PUP, like, for example, Stephon Gilmore in New England, is going to miss at least six games for the Patriots.
Right, right, right.
So just a piece of clarity on that, because we got the question a lot yesterday, and plenty more, by the way, on Friday's podcast, which would be a Stefania injury update special podcast in regards to where Michael Thomas is at and when we might see him back on the field. Matthew, did this change anything about how you had him ranked or no?
I'm at wide receiver 35. I'm the lowest on the rankers of him, and he is what it is, which is he's a high upside wide receiver four. It actually is helpful, I think, because to me, in a weird way, I think it actually helps his fantasy value. And I'll tell you why. Two reasons. Number one is at least we have some clarity on the situation.
Yep.
Right? Because now you can go and you can draft him. If you're drafting, you know, from today on till the beginning of the season, you're like, is he coming back in 2 weeks? Is it coming back in the middle of the season? At least we, like, again, it may be extend beyond the six games, but at least we feel like at least there's some clarity. You'll know that, assuming you are in a league that has an IR spot, you're going to immediately be able to replace him, grab a free agent, grab whatever, whether it's, you know, somebody that if you already had your draft, you're like, oh, Jacoby Myers, you know, like suddenly he has more value now, right? Or you'll want, after the first week of games, there's always people that pop. So that's good that you'll be able to replace him, and you're aware of that. And I also think, you know, I leave the medical to Stefania, but just, okay, good. Hey, you're done for six games. Rehab that ankle. Like, just rehab that ankle, get better, so that when you can come out here, you can help us. The other thing that I think has helped is that Jameis Winston has been named the starter. That happened a couple of days ago for the Saints. But I think for Michael Thomas's fantasy value when he's out there, I think we would prefer Jameis Winston to Taysom Hill, be more of a pass-happy offense than run-heavy with Taysom Hill. So, look, whenever he comes back, he's going to be a top 15, top 20 wide receiver, Michael Thomas is, right?
With maybe.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of question marks.
Right. So,
but he is high upside, high risk wide receiver, which is why I have him ranked as a wide receiver four. Would not want to leave a draft with him needing to count on him, but there's certainly upside there. Again, I'm at wide receiver 35.
Daniel? So here's my quick question. Michael Thomas right now is the only Saints wide receiver that is ranked with Jameis Winston as the quarterback, as we know. Marquez Callaway, does he move up at all with this move, knowing that he's going to miss the first 6 weeks? Not necessarily six games, 6 weeks.
So I have Marquez Callaway ranked, actually. It doesn't show up on our site. It's a...
Because of the way the site works.
Because of the way the site works, it's a whole thing that I don't want to derail our conversation about it. But, like, just, yes, because the way the site works and our rankings are all grouped together, that if the majority of the people on the panel don't rank a player, that player doesn't end up getting ranked because of the way it works. But I do have Callaway in somewhere. I have him, I want to say, at wide receiver 45.
Okay.
So I'm a wide receiver five. Like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. So yeah, I do have him ranked, but, like, yes, if you're drafting a Saints wide receiver right now that isn't a Michael Thomas, Callaway would be the guy.
Last thing I'll say on that is where you have him ranked maybe like a little bit of a different conversation than where he ends up ranked in week one and potentially weeks
Correct.
1 through 6. He may be like a top 35 or top 38 Sure. option in week 1 or 2 or 3 or until Michael Thomas is back. But from a season-long view, you figure Michael Thomas will eventually return. And can this offense support not just Alvin Kamara, not just Michael Thomas, but a group of sort of handful of other a group of other pass catchers, including a rankable wide receiver too.
Yes, sir.
So this is an interesting one. Chris Herndon has been traded from the Jets to the Vikings. The Jets send Chris Herndon and a draft pick while also paying a pretty significant portion of Chris Herndon's salary. Minnesota sends back a draft pick and picks up a player that we've all wanted to make a thing for a while in fantasy. Struggle with drops, struggle with consistency. This could be too cynical on my end. But Stefania, my first thought was, we're not going to see Irv Smith Jr. for a while.
Yeah, I mean, we still don't have details on exactly what they're expecting from the surgery. But, you know, these things, even if you're projecting a few weeks, sometimes it can take guys a little bit longer to come back. So I think their expectation is they will be without him for at least a month, potentially longer. And on top of that, you have Tyler Conklin, who's been dealing with a hamstring injury right. as well. So they were a little short at the position, and making a move didn't surprise me.
Okay, so maybe that's maybe I shouldn't read too much into Chris Herndon trading for what it means for Irv Smith. Matthew, this is your last time, well, potentially our last time, talking about Chris Herndon. Before any further Chris Herndon news is, oh, I remember the time that we talked about Chris Herndon. You going to try to make it a thing one more time?
Finally going to break out this sail? Year? Fourth year in a row?
Is he Devontae Parker?
I was just going to say that. He's the Devontae Parker of tight ends. That's literally.
Or is Rashad Penny. How many years did, you know, have fantasy analysts try to make Rashad Penny a thing?
Yeah.
And we'll see if anything happens this year. But
I drafted
like,
him last night in a salary cap league. We have 35-man teams.
That's true. So those rosters are huge.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to yeah. Yeah, I did a crazy deep league last night with
Mike Clay. We all Mike saw. Clay. No big deal. It's an experts league. How did you get in that league?
Thanks. Oh, yes. Did Mike tweet out the results of that or anything like that?
JJ did.
Yeah. Okay.
Personally, thought it was a little bit aggressive.
JJ sniped me so many times in that league. It was super.
Shout
annoying.
Out to JJ Zacharyson. He's awesome.
Him, Scott Pianowski, and Mike Clay. I was after it went Scott, Mike, me. I had the 12th pick in this super deep league, 12 team league, and it was unbelievably annoying because Scott and Mike sniped me every round. Anyway, I digress. Chris Herndon, I'm sort of out.
I'm really proud of you.
All right,
let's talk about David Bakhtiari then. Leave it there.
Hasn't been able to stay healthy, and maybe a change of scenery helps him. But you know what I mean? Like
that's progress.
You're not drafting him until the very late rounds, right? If you're drafting him at all, and there are other tight ends in that range that I would prefer to take flyers on. You know, I think Gerald Everett of Seattle. You know, I'd rather take a flyer on him. I'd rather take a flyer on Donald Parham of the Chargers.
Yeah, I'd rather talk about him.
I'd even rather take a flyer
moment.
On
so
Adam.
Proud of you. You're doing great.
I'd rather take a flyer on Adam Trautman, who's you know banged up a little bit. Yeah. So anyway,
all right. Well, I just want to let you know that I'm really, really proud of you.
Thank you. Very much.
I'm just going to pass along this note.
But if Jordan Reed comes back, if Jordan Reed retires,
one last piece of news. It's a note. This is a tiny one. I'm just going to mention it. I don't want to overthink this. David Bakhtiari has been placed on PUP or has remained on PUP. He is the Packers star left tackle. Listen, if you're fading Aaron Rodgers because of his left tackle not being out there, like that's a you problem, not a me problem. He's an outstanding player. Maybe the best left tackle in football is Bakhtiari. And the Packers are going to miss him sorely, but you still love Aaron Rodgers. That's my analysis there on Aaron Rodgers. And
Aaron Jones.
You still love those guys. Come on. Don't overthink this one too much. We're going to get into Adam Schefter's fantasy cheat sheet in just a moment. All kinds of really interesting names that Schefter shared in various tiers. But first, do you want to get in shape? You're having trouble staying motivated?
Obviously.
Make 5-hour energy shots part of your lifestyle and get the energy boost you need to get fit. We all know you sometimes do not want to go to the gym.
Yep.
Just take a 5-hour energy shot to give you that feeling and alertness and you can get to the gym, Matthew. With zero sugar and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done.
It'll pick Matthew up?
Yeah, literally. The 5-Hour Energy website has flavors galore like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and more. There's a flavor for everybody, so try them all. On the site, you even have the option to build your own 12 or 24-pack. You choose the flavors, and that pack is delivered right to your door. If you go to 5hourenergy.com 5hourenergy.com. And that's the number 5hourenergy.com. You can get some 5-Hour Energy product today. You can also do so using our promo code FFF to receive 10% off your order. If you don't like 10% off things, you probably are still drafting, I don't know, who's a quarterback? Brad Johnson is your first round pick.
Wow.
I love Brad. He's great on TikTok, by the way. This offer is only valid until December 30th on one order and cannot be used with other promotions. This code is not good on subscription orders. Go to 5hourenergy.com today.
Hi, football fans.
Hello.
I want to tell you that NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is like having front row seats to every live out-of-market game every Sunday afternoon. No matter where you live, streamed right to your favorite device. And this season, that means 18 weeks of glory and more games than ever before. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and order today. Use promo code FFF2021 at checkout to save 15%. That's FFF2021 at checkout to save 15%. Select international games excluded. Eligibility restrictions apply. Compatible device required. Data charges may apply.
Alrighty, let's get to Adam Schefter's fantasy cheat sheet. And for those that have a subscription to ESPN Plus, you can read this entire cheat sheet on the website right now. So basically what Adam did was he highlighted by position some early round targets, some mid round targets, and then some late round targets. We're not going to go through every single player on the list, and we don't need to go through every player that we mentioned here in significant depth. So we'll start at quarterback, and one of his favorite early round quarterbacks is Josh Allen. No surprise there, Matthew. And you know, I don't think we need to either affirm or sort of argue, well, especially not in the top tier guys. Like, you, of course, agree with Josh Allen as one of the top quarterbacks in fantasy this year. But just to highlight some of the players that Adam Schefter really likes. And think about this, people. Adam Schefter is the most connected man in football. He of, I don't know, like 10 million Twitter follower fame. He who is as dialed into the NFL across the league as any person in the sport. He is also, on top of that, the most passionate fantasy player you will meet. Mm-hmm. When he's not playing fantasy football during the season, he's playing fantasy basketball. When he's not playing fantasy basketball, he's doing fantasy golf leagues. Daily fantasy, season-long fantasy, pick 'em, you name it, this man has a passion for fantasy sports. He is not just listing names for the sake of getting an extra byline on ESPN.com. He's dialed in here.
He is absolutely a passionate fantasy player. There's no question about that.
Yes. And he has what pick in the Worm League? I can't remember what it is, which is one week from tonight.
12, I think.
Okay. I'm at 14.
I'm at 10.
Okay.
I'm at 5.
Yeah, lucky of you. Course, Starfanya does. The league's been going on for, I think, a decade, and I've never picked inside the top 8. Maybe I've done it once. Maybe I've picked in the top, say, 8 once. Like, it never, ever. The Hasselbecks pick inside the top 4 every year.
It's amazing luck.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing. All right, let's get to his early round quarterback targets. And just really quickly,
Josh Allen. And I agree with Shefty. I like Josh Allen as well.
And Josh Allen, just a reminder, had 6 games with 30-plus fantasy points last year. That led all quarterbacks. He had 9 games with 25-plus fantasy points, tied for most amongst quarterbacks. He had 5 games with multiple passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown. You're looking for 25 points in a week at quarterback? Josh Allen is always a good bet. A late-round quarterback is interesting. I thought both of these were interesting, Matthew. And this might be where most of the insight is interesting because there is typically a lot of close to consensus near the top of boards. 2 late-round quarterbacks on Schefty's list, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Sam Darnold. Which one do you prefer, or do you like both?
I actually like both. So both guys made my love list this year. Both guys. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick was legit a love, and Sam Darnold was my others receiving votes, but I like
drafted in 80% for Fitzpatrick and 95% for Darnold.
The Fitzy one I don't get. A little bit more mobile than I think he gets credit for. He's had multiple rushing touchdowns in each of the last 3 years in which he's started at least 12 games. Fitzy was on a points per game basis last year for Miami. He was a top 12 fantasy quarterback in games in which he played the majority of snaps.
Yeah.
He's played well. Over the last couple of years, and I would argue that he has more talent on this Washington football team than he's ever played with in his career. From top
it's close.
To bottom.
We've had this conversation before.
I know. The Jets with Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall is pretty close, but honestly, I don't think the Jets had a tight end as good as Logan Thomas, that run game as good as Antonio Gibson in that era. I would argue McLaurin and Curtis Samuel are in the ballpark of Marshall and Decker, and I think you could make an argument that even better than them. I won't get into that argument, but I love Dyami Brown. Adam Humphries is a solid pass catcher. It's going to be a dynamic offense. Ryan, I have 100 facts coming out tomorrow. And there's a whole very pro Ryan Fitzpatrick part in there. So I'm big on Ryan Fitzpatrick. And in that going deep league that I talked about last night with Mike Clay, which is a crazy league where you start six to seven wide receivers, 3 to 4 running backs, 2 to 3 tight ends, 2 to 3 quarterbacks, and you only have a 4-man bench. So you're basically starting your entire team, and it's a 12-team league, 18 rounds. Sam Darnold's my second quarterback there because Pianowski stole Ryan Tannehill from me two picks earlier.
How dare he take a good player.
And then Mike Clay took Baker Mayfield from me. So I'm like, But then I've got Sam Darnold there because I'm a believer in getting rid of Adam Gase. I like how that offense operates. You think about what Carolina has, right? Chris McCaffrey, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, Terrace Marshall. What do all those guys have?
Hands.
They do all have hands.
Good run after catch skills.
And good run after the catch skills. They are super fast. Like, I think that's going to be by the way, and also think Dan Arnold on that team is an interesting sleeper tight end. So I do like Sam Darnold. I think the defense isn't going to be great. They're going to be throwing a lot. It's going to be a fantasy-friendly offense. So for deeper leagues, if you're in a league like I was in last night, I like Sam Darnold this year as a sleeper.
I have an update. And I learned that I have to trust my instincts more frequently.
Yes, sir.
Adam Schefter just now tweeting, Vikings tight end Irv Smith underwent surgery to repair his meniscus this morning, and with a 4 to 5 month recovery timetable, it is most likely to end his season, per sources. So the writing was indeed on the wall, unfortunately for Irv Smith Jr.
That stinks.
To be clear, we didn't have that news when we were talking about it.
No, I know. I'm just saying. I'm sure the Vikings certainly knew that was headed their way when they traded for Chris Irv.
Right, but I think based on the fact that we talked about it the way we did, it's because we didn't know whether it would be a few weeks surgery or a few months surgery.
Sure.
I just want to point that out.
To be fair, you said that yesterday, right? Like, it could be anywhere from 4 to 5 weeks to 3 to 4 months is what you said to Matthew when he asked about it.
And the thing about the news is that when you have a meniscus repair like that, that actually bodes well for the long-term health of the player. It means that they found something they could repair. It's going to protect his knee long-term. And they're playing it safe by saying, okay, we're going to take the long-term approach here and make sure we don't bring him back too quickly. So no Irv Smith. Sorry for him because he was on my sleeper list. Sorry for me.
Certainly a lot of people's sleeper list this year with good reason. So we both agree. We all agree, I think, though, with Shefty's thoughts, specifically on Fitzpatrick. I want to see a little bit more, obviously, from Sam Darnold. So we go to running backs. And this is kind of interesting. And this first one actually caught my attention. And I don't recall the specific date that the cheat sheet went up and whether it was
August 29th.
Okay, so it was after the Chiefs preseason game in which Clyde Edwards-Helaire sprained his ankle, and I don't believe we've seen him practice since. Right. Sounded like it would be a couple weeks. But anyways, Clyde Edwards-Helaire does make Shefty's cheat sheet, and he's going 14th overall amongst running backs and 27th overall, so back end of the third round. You know, Matthew, there were some positive indicators last year, but I think it's clear that if you're confident in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it's probably because even the Chiefs would say, like, there are ways that we can optimize him better than we did last season.
So it's a couple of things. Should be a better offensive line. Certainly the Chiefs are hoping for it, right? So it should be a better offense. Yep. Should be a better offensive line. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, based on the number of touches he got last year, very unlucky with the touchdowns.
Yep.
Now, also, that's one of the anti-CEH arguments. He's a small guy, and you know, you would see him run into the line on the 1 yard line and just couldn't do it, right? And I would argue that Andy Reid is one of, if not the most creative goal line play caller there is in the NFL. They do all sorts of different motion, and they've got fullbacks going in, and you know, whatever, whether it's shovel passes to Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill on a sweep, or they do a lot of different things.
Or a fourth offensive lineman coming in to catch a touchdown.
Anthony Sherman all of a sudden, you know, like they do all these different things.
Yeah, craziness, yeah.
Right, around the goal line. So there's more trickeration. Yes, it is.
Talk him down on that one. Trickeration.
Oh, she's doing injury updates.
Right. Got it. So she's actually working.
It's because I hear you going into like bad grammar and made up words, and I just immediately am like, okay, I'm going to do something productive.
I'm sorry, Stefania. What you're saying is like I heard you being on brand.
Yes, that's what it is.
Exactly.
Which is that's what I did. Me no likey you.
You know, the sad thing is, after all this time, I've come to understand. It's like when you're talking with a child or your dog, and you sort of communicate because you know that they can't really communicate at the same level.
Me hungry.
There we go.
Good boy. Go to your corner.
Okay.
Let's keep talking about
anyway,
Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Let's
Clyde keep Edwards-Helaire. The rails now. What I would say here is that, so what you're banking on here is better usage from him, a better offensive line, the fact that he got unlucky with touchdowns, and oh, by the way, he's the starting running back for Andy Reid, and last year was the first year in which, in a long time, in which Andy Reid's starting running back wasn't like a top 10 fantasy player. And so you're banking on all of that because for many, many years, if you were the lead running back for Andy Reid, you had top 10 fantasy value. Like, and it wasn't just like superstars like Brian Westbrook. It was guys like, you know, Coral Buckhalter and Charcandrick West. Like, Andy Reid made Charcandrick West a thing. So that's, I think, what is going on here with CEH. I am at 15. His ADP is running back 14. So I'm right there with consensus. You know, the just concern is that the other concern on CEH is that maybe he isn't that big. Maybe you're hearing some news about Jerick McKinnon and you're hearing other names as well in that Chiefs camp. Daryl Williams, they like a lot. Do they use him? Do they use Daryl Williams more in goal line situations in short yardage? And oh, by the way, do they even need to run? Because like last year they didn't.
Buffalo
like,
Bills.
They were just like, yeah, you know what? I've got Patrick Mahomes. I got Tyreek Hill. I got Travis Kelce. I'm just throwing every play. You guys try to stop me.
I'll give you a couple of late round names that he mentions amongst running backs. Philip Lindsay and Gio Bernard. We all know what the potential path is for Gio. He's an outstanding pass catcher. He plays on a great, great offense. Philip Lindsay is an interesting one. We've all agreed that if you're taking a shot on a Texans running back for the season, we think it's Philip Lindsay. I'm also here to tell you they kept five running backs yesterday, Mark Ingram and David Johnson and Philip Lindsay. So that's an offense that we think is going to be scoring in the teens weekly. So I'm not sure there's a ton of fantasy value. It requires a lot of things going correctly for Philip Lindsay for that value to hold up over the course of the season.
But I would argue here, I think what Shefty's point here is it's like in the very late rounds in terms of where he's being drafted as running back 43, there's a chance that Philip Lindsay, that you can get a starting running back, like a legit starting running back for an NFL team at running back 43.
Right.
I mean, it feels like, honestly, like Mark Ingram, Rex, some of those guys, like, I don't think are going to be active every week.
Yeah, I think all four of them will be.
Really?
Mark Ingram, yeah. David Johnson, Rex Burkhead. Burkhead's going to play on special teams. I love that value. Mark Ingram's like a heartbeat guy. David Johnson's got a huge salary. He might be the odd man out,
together,
but he could be.
If you put them all together in one body, think about how great they would be.
Yeah, right?
They would be great in one body, Daniel. Good. A lot of people say, what does Daniel contribute to the podcast? And I think there's just an example of it right there.
Yeah.
In terms of what you bring on a daily
basis.
Here's the thing. I think there's a chance there's a couple of guys in that list that might be washed. That just might be done.
No question. There's probably not a single late round value on this sheet that I'm like, no, I'm out. No.
Yeah.
At a certain point, all players have some value. I just have less confidence in general surrounding that Houston offense.
And
he
also mentions Giovanni Bernard, who I will just say about Giovanni Bernard, like think about what James White did for years in New England. I think that's what Bernard's role is. I think at cost, I would rather have Bernard than Leonard Fournette.
Oh, interesting.
I'll stick with Lenny.
See, because I think Ronald Jones is probably the first and second down back.
I think Bernard
takes a lot of the passing down work that Fournette had last year.
That's my argument. If you have a bunch more running back questions, you and I actually did a running back fantasy show last week that people could check out on ESPN Plus right now.
That is correct. We did.
But
the
if you don't have
special.
ESPN Plus, how could you go through and get it, Matthew?
You could subscribe to rotopass.com.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm just saying, like, rotopass.com has a collection of great premium fantasy football content sites that I personally have collected that I use. And it includes, of course, ESPN Plus. You get a 12-month subscription to ESPN Plus. When you subscribe to RotoPass, you can watch the fantasy show with Matthew Berry, hosted by Daniel Dopp. We have a new show coming out tomorrow as well.
Yep, we do.
But our running back special and our How to Dominate Your Draft special. We have a lot of shows up there. You can obviously read Mike Clay and Field Yates and Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel and Matt Bowen and all of our great writers, Mel and Todd and everyone there at ESPN Plus. Plus five other sites that give you draft software and customized ranks and customized auction values and whatever, whether you play best ball or dynasty or Devy or, redraft, two quarterback, super flex, whatever your format is, there's tools and it's also season long. Plus they have DFS lineup optimizers as well. Everything you could possibly need and so much more. Rotopass.com, use the promo code 06010 for 10% off.
Well done by Matthew. Let's move forward to pass catchers provided by Shefty and his fantasy cheat sheet. Again, available now on ESPN+. Early round wide receivers. Ooh, this will warm your heart right here, Matthew. Terry McLaurin, no major issue. Or no, I would say, the discourse is he's Terry McLaurin. He had 8.7 targets per game last year. That was ninth most amongst wide receivers, 12th amongst wide receivers in receiving yards per game. And as we have talked about countless times over, that was with below average quarterback and inconsistent quarterback play. Should be much, much better with Fitzy under center this year. But here's where it gets interesting, Matthew, is two names in late round flyers amongst wide receivers. Rondale Moore, who we've talked about quite a bit, right? Electric player at Purdue, second round pick for the Arizona Cardinals out of Purdue this past year. If they can just find ways to utilize him, there's a chance he could have some intriguing value, especially in a deeper league. But this is a name that I think is a legit sleeper. Donovan Peoples-Jones, Cleveland Brown, sixth round pick out of Michigan a year ago, a player that probably went lower in the draft than his actual value would suggest. And his
collegiate profile, his skill set from college would suggest.
Yes.
He should have gone higher.
Yeah. Should have gone higher, correct.
Yeah.
So
he's had a really good camp.
Yes, he has.
Was he in the conversation of are they going to turn him into a tight end, or am I making that up? Am I thinking of a different wide receiver?
Don't believe that was him.
Okay.
You're thinking of Ricky Seals-Jones? Thinking of other three-name?
It might be other three-name. Yeah, that could be what it is.
Guys.
Yeah.
Donovan Peoples-Jones, and it's interesting because felt like we've been waiting for a third guy to emerge in Cleveland, and felt like for a while it was going to be Rashard Higgins, you know? Yep. And that was sort of how I thought coming into the season, but all reports out of Cleveland, and to your point about Shefty being plugged in, this is one of them, that if you're picking a non-OBJ / Landry wide receiver, Donovan Peoples-Jones is the interesting guy, and we talked about him not just for redraft, like deeper redraft leagues this year, especially given the injury concerns that Beckham has had over the course of his career, but also in Dynasty Field, as you've noted quite often, that the Browns have some decisions to make, and both Landry and Beckham could potentially be on the bubble after this season.
And I don't want to get too far ahead of it, and you're right. But they have, the reality when you build a good roster and you got a quarterback you're going to pay, and you already pay Myles Garrett, and you're going to have to pay some of those great offensive linemen, or you already had paid some of those great offensive linemen. The Seahawks went through this. The Bucks are going to eventually go through it. The Saints went through it. The Steelers, you can't pay everybody eventually. So I just. Even if there's not redraft value this year for Don Peoples-Jones, remember the name. And if he flashes a couple times this year, think long and hard about him going into next season.
Definitely somebody to grab in Dynasty.
Do you own or rent your home, Matthew?
I do. Both.
Wow. Subtle flex right there. I knew you do, but I bet it can be hard work, especially when you say both. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All right. So Body Armor, hook our stuff up. I was going to say a different word, but listen, I wanted to take a picture because we have a fridge in our basement that my oldest son has taken over.
Oh, wow.
And it is all, it's literally like a Body Armor ad. You open up the fridge and there's literally nothing in there except Body Armor because my kid's so excited. He's gotten organized by flavor. And,
oh, good
he's
for got him.
On certain shelves. He's so excited. God bless the good people at Body Armor hooking my kid up. He's super excited. And look, you know that fantasy football season is right around the corner. That means more of what you love. The teams, the rivalries, the stats, and trash-talking friends. Your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, Baker Mayfield. I've heard of all those guys. They all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best. Give you the trash-talking points you need. This fall, a great time to up your game. Body Armor has you covered. Everyone's focused on staying active and healthy. Not all of us, but most people are. And hydration, of course, a very important part of that. It's more than just a sports drink field. It's made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and there's no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. Now through December 31st, buy any one Body Armor product, upload your receipt to bafootballtailgate.com. That's bafootballtailgate.com. And you'll be entered for a chance to win one of hundreds of amazing prizes for your next tailgate. There's no purchase necessary, void where prohibited, and it's open to residents of the United States, 18 and older. you just barely qualify field.
Wow, you had to go there. The good news is for you. You know, I'm going to spare you an old
Stop
joke.
Stop it. I knew it.
I just,
yeah.
You know, I can't help it. Some days you can't help it.
By the way, when you look at me, just understand, for considering that I am 103, I think I look great.
I think you do a great job.
I really do.
You know what? Life is all about perspective, and I'm glad that you've adopted that perspective as it pertains to your age. Let's wrap things up with Shefty's cheat sheet by going to the tight ends and his early round tight end value, George Kittle. He's going 25th overall and third amongst tight ends, Matthew. As we know, when Kittle's healthy, when he's on the field, he has a peak that is matched only by Darren Waller and, of course, Travis Kelce. He could score you 30 points in a week, though. He's just that special.
He is. To me, I feel like there's more questions about Kittle in terms of the upper-tier tight ends than there are anyone else.
Maybe fair.
And I'll tell you why. So, I mean, Not because of him.
Correct.
We have no questions about his talent. And we actually have no... I don't even have questions about the health. I mean, listen, do I love the fact that he spent some time talking to Stefania when she went to 49ers camp? I do not.
No.
Because the curse of Stefania Bell is real and it's spectacular.
Yep.
But I do think that he is one of the toughest guys in the NFL. My concern here is, what does it look like in that offense now that they have Brandon Ayuk, now that they have Deebo Samuel, now that they have a strong run game? Like, they have a lot of other guys that deserve touches of that ball. Does he get the kind of target share that he has gotten in previous seasons? And the other thing is that quarterback's a question mark for this team. Like, we all love the fantasy potential of Trey Lance because of his rushing ability. Right. And listen, we think he's going to be a good passer, but he's still going to be a rookie quarterback that didn't play college football last year except for one game. Like, there's going to be some growing pains there with Trey Lance whenever he becomes the guy. And Garoppolo has struggled, you know, throughout his career. I think that's fair to say, at least certainly in San Francisco. Some inconsistent.
Up and down, I would
up
say.
Up and down, yeah. Inconsistent for Garoppolo. So I just think there's a lot of questions for a guy that's going basically in the second round.
I think the only thing with George, with Kittle that I think needs to be mentioned also is, and we use this rhetoric often, but he's so good at some of the other things that there aren't necessarily the needs for him every single week to have 5 or 8 or 10 catches. As a matter of fact, he is so busy blocking that sometimes he's not even used in the route nearly as much as someone like Travis Kelce, to wit. Only once in his career, he's been in the league for, I think, 5 years now, 4 or 5 years. Only once has he ranked top 10 in terms of routes run per game. So frequently he is, they use him as a pass protector. They use him as just a knockout run blocker as well. He's such a big part of their offense in ways that go beyond catches, yards, and touchdowns.
Especially, and then you think about the role in the offense for a guy like Kelce or even Darren Waller. Like, they ain't bringing in Darren Waller to block.
Darren Waller's
a converted wide receiver. Like,
right. Yeah, literally, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. He legit is. He played wide receiver at Georgia Tech in college. Like, he's a converted wide receiver. That's how they use him. 145 targets last year. It's why Waller's number two for me. Clearly over Kittle. I know some people have Kittle at two, but that's the only issue there. I think that also is an issue with Kittle, but no one questions the talent. And the upside, obviously, is massive.
Last piece from Shefty's cheat sheet is the late round tight ends, Gerald Everett and Pat Freiermuth. Everett, of course, with the Seattle Seahawks, now signed a 1-year deal with them, leaving from the Los Angeles Rams. And Freiermuth, a second round pick out of, sorry, Kyle, not Penn State, but the Brooks School in North Andover, Mass. He is now a Pittsburgh Steeler. Looked good in preseason, Matthew. Out of those two, does one sort of pique your interest more than the other?
Gerald Everett does. Like, again, so we've talked about him. Gerald Everett's another guy that made my preseason love list and others receiving votes. And so feel good that Shefty and I are on the same page on a lot of these. Everett's interesting to me just because of the fact that, you know, he's had 11 different games with 5 or more targets over the past 2 seasons. He averages double-digit fantasy points in those games. Yeah. Where was Gerald Everett last year? He was in Los Angeles. Who was the offense coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks, the play caller? Where was he last year?
Shane Waldron.
He was in Los Angeles. You know, so like there's a familiarity with Everett for Waldron, who's going to be calling the plays now in Seattle. And, you know, listen, I've talked about the fact that I like the Seattle offenses here. They're one of my offenses that I think explode. I think they let Russ cook this year. And you want a piece of that. I do like Will Dissly as well, but it seems like they haven't been able to really get him on the field and use him consistently. So I prefer Everett to Freiermuth, who I like a lot in Dynasty, but I'm just concerned about the fact that they still have Eric Ebron, who's still going to be a presence in the red zone. They still have Claypool and Juju and Deontay Johnson on a team that we expect to run a lot this year with Najee Harris.
The only problem with, and I've been thinking about this as we've used it for other players as well, Daryl Henderson being one, but the only problem with like relying on data when a pass catcher gets five or more targets in the 11 times in his three seasons, he's averaged over 10 fantasy points. It's like the more important number is that it's happened 11 times in three seasons, right? So I don't know how many games there have been in Everett's
career. In two seasons, 11 times in general.
Like 11 times in two seasons. Like, is there anything that suggests he's a lock to have five targets regularly in Seattle? Three wide receivers, at least two, maybe D. Eskridge if their second-round pick comes around. Chris Carson's going to be busy in the passing game. We talked about Will Dissly not going away. I've got him at tight end 25-year-old Everett. I think he's a good player. I just, you know, I'm like, hard for me to feel comfortable leaving a draft with him.
I'm at tight end 18, so he's more of a deeper league guy. But again, as we were talking earlier in the show, like, do I prefer him as a late-round flyer than Chris Herndon? I do.
Yeah.
Right. There are other guys that I prefer. So
Chris Herndon's going to go off this year, right?
Of course he is.
He's going to go like 90 catches, 1,000 yards. And
the year
touchdowns.
We're all finally we're finally done with him. That's the year he has just a monster season.
Totally. Yeah.
The only thing I would say to that stat, and I agree with you in general, like you're like, when X player gets this much targets or this many carries, he does this. There's the tendency to go like, oh, so when he gets a lot of work, he's good. Thanks, Sherlock.
Right. I just was thinking about that contract more than anything else.
But you know, like, you know who got a ton of targets last year? AJ Green. And he was terrible.
Right.
It's not always the case. And some players are better than others. You know, there are other players that are Austin Eckler is somebody who's crazy efficient, right? I mean, Russell Wilson is crazy efficient. He's never been among the league leaders in pass attempts.
Mm. Yeah. Who was tight end five last year? Robert Tonyan didn't have a ton of targets. He just caught the ball in the, I mean, he had 11 touchdowns.
22% of his passes. That was, you know, some good fortune there. I think probably what my lesson learned is I'm trying to get it from a philosophy standpoint as we use it to either project forward, whether it's during the season or in the preseason, is that when a player gets plenty of opportunities and does not succeed, that's a much more, to me, useful metric to look at. Rather than like when this guy who in the 10 times in four seasons when he's actually gotten a chance to compete has done well, like I would expect when a guy gets a lot of chances to compete. So maybe the AJ Green not being efficient last year is more useful than, again, on the handful of occasions that Daryl Henderson got 10 or more carries, like here's what he did. Does that make sense?
It does, but it's also one of those things that's like, okay, well, good. But
you have to use some data
You have to use some data and you're just like, okay, when this guy got an opportunity to be the guy, was he any good or not?
Yeah.
And in the case of Daryl Henderson, he was, which is helpful. It's a lot of data that goes into it. And then, by the way, the guy steps out of bounds at 1 yard line or the wide receiver on the other side of the field has a holding penalty, calls a touchdown back. And you're just like, well, there goes that.
Right. Also, sometimes go with your gut. What do you got, Daniel? Let's get to social questions, actually.
Let's get to some social questions brought to us by our friends over at Geico, whether you rent or own your home. Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. The first one comes from Birdman Chris Anderson. Wants to know, would it be crazy to take Adams fifth overall? When was the last time you thought about Birdman Chris Anderson?
You know, I was recently watching
probably 3 days ago when he was getting his tats. People don't understand this, but underneath field, like he's all tatted up. It's nowhere that you can see.
People call me Mike Golick Jr. Jr.
Right, yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. He's like a young Daniel Dopp over there.
If it's nowhere that you can see, how have you seen it?
Ooh, Stefania, don't ask questions you don't want the answers to.
I asked him earlier about like, house, does you own a ranch? He said both.
Yeah.
He has a houseboat as well, and he brought me onto the houseboat this summer.
That's what it is.
Okay. Yes.
Can you take Adams fifth overall in the PPR
Field
league?
And I are closer than you and Stefania. I'll just leave it at that.
Wow.
It's true.
That's
though.
Right.
Wow. Fifth overall, PPR league, Devontae Adams.
So Birdman, first of all, but to answer the question about the last time I saw Birdman, a few days ago, SportsCenter was on Instagram, threw up great J.R. Smith jams.
Oh, wow.
J.R. Smith, now a college athlete playing golf.
Yeah.
In a school in North Carolina, which
I think it's
awesome.
North Carolina AT&T, right?
I think it's just A&T.
A&T, sorry.
AT&T is,
AT&T is a phone company.
It's so good.
But by the way,
By the way,
I think I just came up with a good branding opportunity for that phone company. That phone company should make a deal with J.R. Smith for some ads. Maybe they should talk to the school. change the name a little bit.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, like, I, you know.
So what would the AT&T stand for in, okay. in this yeah. version? Because I believe North Carolina A&T is North Carolina School of Agriculture and Technology.
Sure.
What's the extra T stand for?
Textile.
Oh. Agriculture, okay. textiles, and technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Good that guess. Was good,
you know,
Matthew.
North Carolina,
that was,
nice attempt. Man, but that's
pretty good.
No. North right. Carolina, you know, Tobacco yeah. Road, textiles.
Can you, let's answer this question really quickly. Can you take Devontae Adams, fifth overall PPR? Are you shaming that person?
No,
in your
I think draft? You can, yes. Birdman. Totally. You can. I would say, though, that that tends to be the sweet spot for me for Zeke Elliott because he seems to be number five of that top five group of running backs. And if I'm going to break the running back streak to start my draft, I've said this countless times over this year, to me, the preferred target is Travis Kelce. So I think if I had five, I'm thinking Zeke Elliott or whoever falls of those five top running backs. But if I'm totally dissuaded from going running back early, I will take Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I would.
It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yes. Here's what I would say. I prefer Travis Kelce to Devontae Adams if I'm taking a pass catcher in the middle of the first round. I prefer one of those five running backs if I had, you know, to your point, I want one of CMC, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, or Ezekiel Elliott. I want one of those five guys. So right. if I have a top five pick, I'm taking one of those five guys. All that said, he ain't coming back to you. You're not getting him in the second round. And get your guys, man. Hashtag YOLO. You know, like, do what you want. Like, you aren't, Birdman, you're not going to lose your league.
With Devontae
Adams. With Devontae Adams, because Devontae Adams is on your team.
Totally
like,
agree.
He's a great player. He's money in the bank. He's my number one wide receiver. He's Fields as well. It'll be fine. So not what I would do at that pick because of, but like if he was there at seven, I'd be taking him. So like, that's fine. Absolutely. Get your guys.
This okay. next question is a good one. I think it's important. Let me start if you don't mind. After yeah. you ask the question.
Yeah. yeah. This comes from I Love Lucky wants to know James Robinson or Chris Carson.
All right. So this, you may feel differently about this, Matthew, but this reminds me of something that I talk about usually through text when friends are asking me during the season, like, what would you do here, right? When it's, you know, this player or that player.
By the way, nice flex that you have friends.
Wow. Whoa. Nice flex that you have several homes.
I know, you'd think I'd have more friends.
I mean, Matthew's on fire. You know,
I know.
You are crushing buying it. Houses, hoping I get a friend.
Hoping someone
will you know, like, here, what if I buy this one? Will you come visit me here?
No?
What about this one?
I like punchy, tired Matthews.
Me too.
Great.
So you may feel differently about these players, but I would say my perception of James Robinson versus Chris Carson going into this season is that they are not necessarily 100% equivalent, but they are very close to equivalent. I could make a very easy case for James Robinson over Chris Carson. I could make a very easy case for Chris Carson over James Robinson. The point being is that sometimes you make a trade offer and you're offering four quarters for a dollar, right? Sometimes James Robinson versus Chris Carson is, I don't know, if I had to guess 17 times this season and I guess James Robinson 9 times and Chris Carson 8 times, maybe that I'm correct. Does that mean that one was clearly better than the other? The answer is no. Like in fantasy, sometimes you're either dealing with toss-ups or like just go with your gut. Maybe you're a Seahawks fan. Take Chris Carson. Maybe you've had Chris Carson in the past and you don't want to have him on your roster again, or you do want to have him on your roster again. Take him. Maybe you're just a twinge nervous about Carlos Hyde and you say, you know what? I'm going Chris Carson over James Robinson. Or maybe you're saying, dude, James Robinson was the man last year for me, third in touches, fifth in fantasy points per game amongst running backs. I'm cool there. I just think that it's a good thing to remind people of going into the season is that, like, hey, you know, we may have our job. I always tell people, my job, I don't know so many different things that the general public cannot find out during the course of a week, right? What I am doing, what we are doing, is we're taking every factor that we believe has fantasy relevance, the player's ability, the depth chart, the weather in a given week, the playing surface, the opponent. If a quarterback is injured, what does it mean for a wide receiver? Things of that nature. And we're sort of just taking all that information, packaging it, and repurposing it to give you a cogent fantasy analysis. In the case of James Robinson versus Chris Carson, there are enough indicators for both for me to think that they're both solid RB2s. I don't know that I have a great one way or the other lean. Do you?
I prefer Chris Carson. But your point...
By a lot?
No, to the point of like, if I'm in a draft and Chris Carson's sitting there and somebody takes James Robinson instead of him, am I going like, what's that person doing?
Right.
Absolutely
right,
not.
Yeah.
Like, I totally get it. And I said this in my draft day manifesto. I say it all the time. Use our rankings as a loose guideline.
Yeah.
The fact is that at the end of the year, if you go back and look at any person's rankings or you look at any ADP on any site, ESPN or anywhere else you might draft, it's going to be all over the place. I mean, I always use this. At this time last year, No one thought that Tyrod Taylor's backup would finish the year with more fantasy points than Lamar Jackson, who last year was being drafted as the number one quarterback in fantasy and was the reigning MVP. I mean, but that's what happened with Justin Herbert. Yeah. I mean, like, there's a zillion examples of that, or that an undrafted rookie running back, James Robinson, would finish with more fantasy points than basically every other running back other than four of them. So I prefer Chris Carson because I think I like the Seattle offense better than Jacksonville's. I think I feel better about his role in the offense compared to Alex Collins, Rashad Penny, than I do Robinson versus Carlos Hyde. I feel better about the offensive line in Seattle than I do in Jacksonville. I do think the Jaguars have a decent offensive line. And I feel better about Pete Carroll and that coaching staff. We just don't know what you're going to get with Urban Meyer. And so I just think there's a lot of factors on Chris Carson's side, who just got paid, than there are James Robinson that tip me towards him. But would I think you're weird if you took J-Rob over Carson? I would not.
Okay. Next question comes from Betty. Wants to know, should I go quarterback first overall in a two quarterback format?
I've been saying this, in a two QB league, I tend to think the top three picks are in some order: Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, and Patrick Mahomes. Do you feel differently?
Yeah, I mean, it depends if it's tight end premium, because sometimes
I'm assuming no. Okay. Like, I'm assuming two quarterbacks
in that league. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Although, like, if Josh Allen went one of the top three picks, I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. I do prefer, because here's the thing: quarterback is deep. However, having just a solid quarterback is the new mediocre, because there are so many good quarterbacks. Like, you really want one of those elite guys, and it runs out quickly. Again, I'm in a 12-team two quarterback league, and I took Josh Allen, my first round pick, last night at pick 12, and then just I got on the wrong end of a quarterback run. And my number two is Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
My number three is Daniel Jones. And, like,
yikes.
I would have liked Darnold to be my number three. And I waited around too long to get my second quarterback. It goes quick. And so
I like
having at least one superstar. In a super flex, in a two quarterback league, I like having one stud.
I think at the first overall pick, so this is a 12 team league, or even if it's a 10 team league, whatever the number is, let's call it a 10 team league. I think if you take Christian McCaffrey first, you intend on taking a quarterback 20 and 21 and two quarterbacks in that case. And you got to figure, if, like, there's this absolute ridiculous run of quarterbacks that already went ahead of you and you're stuck with, like, Matt Ryan and Baker Mayfield, then you could probably just say, like, okay, I'm taking one of these running backs that's still available, and you could just trade your running backs later. So I'm for Christian McCaffrey first overall, but to each their own.
I think I would go Mahomes. Yeah.
Okay.
In a two quarterback league, yeah, I want Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, one thing, you ain't losing your league with either one of those guys.
Yeah. Two more questions here real quick. This second to last one comes from, do you want Ryan or Tyler here, Field?
Ryan.
You want Ryan? Okay. How would your draft strategy change for a 14 team league versus a standard 10 team league? Obviously, it's tough because, you know, the way that we do a lot of stuff here at ESPN, ESPN yeah, game is standard 10 team, but all of us play in multiple leagues, 10, 12, 14, 16 teams. So how does that change for you guys?
Yeah, so one thing you hear us mention often is, like, I don't necessarily want to start the quarterback run. I don't want to end the quarterback run in my league. That is more important in 14 team leagues because there is a little bit of a fine line. Like, there are players that I think are outside my top 14 that could be pretty good, but they're not as much of a guarantee. Like, in a 10-team league, you can really afford to be patient at quarterback.
Not just that, you can also take Not only that, you can also take a lot of flyers in a 10-team league, because if they don't work out, then you know there's going to be viable options in the waiver wire. In a 14-team league, you need more depth because there's not nearly as much. And so I think you want to be capricious with your, you hear that one, Stefania?
Yeah, that's good.
You hear
right
that,
there.
Princeton?
Yeah.
Capricious with your flyers. I think you want to take a couple of them because you always want those upside. That's how you win in those leagues. But you also, you're going to need some producers. You're going to need some guys that can contribute. So
that's what I'm for.
I think you want to, I'm going to just blow past that one real quickly and just say, that you need, you're going to have to understand that depth is going to be an issue. So that's like, I might take, in a 10-team league, I'm not taking more than one quarterback. I'm not taking more than one tight end. But I might take a backup tight end and a backup quarterback in a 14-team league, depending on who I have. Like, if I have Mahomes in a 14-team league, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to roll with Mahomes. But if you have a dicier guy at either quarterback or tight end, you might want to take a second person there. You might be more apt to draft insurance for your starting running back
that sort of thing. I think depth is more of an issue in a 14-team league.
All right, great stuff there. We'll cut it off and come back tomorrow. That is going to do it for today. Thanks for watching Fantasy Focus Football. Remember that you can catch Daniel, myself, and Mike Clay tonight on the Zoom live show, Q&A style. The podcast will be back tomorrow, breaking down the final mock draft of the offseason, and then a Stefania special on Friday. For Daniel, Stefania, Matthew, I'm Field. Talk to you tomorrow.
Peace out.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Hainsworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, bordering away again in Matthew Berryville, searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.